that looks like an awful lot of thought going on, you know?
A sword? Oh.
Both. He's made both.
Hey. No. Palm Sunday here at First Lutheran Church. We will be processing this morning after the gospel. We will go up the aisle. If you want to go, if your seat's on this side, then go around that way, around back, and then up back and through and into your seats, and same for that side. Or you can just go straight into your seats. Your call. And with that,
Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name.
The Gospel from Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And he entered Jerusalem. The whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us keep silence in the presence of God and of one another as we confess our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and to the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading this morning is from Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. "It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 31 responsively with me. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also.
For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away.
I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me.
I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine on your servant. Save me your steadfast love.
The second reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seated as we read the Passion Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now in the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner from the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning. He took some water and he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and our children." So he released Barabbas to them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him. They put mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once they ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs, and the entire city entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may remain seated. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Every year when we celebrate Palm Sunday, you know, those 20 minutes of triumphal celebration before we reject, humiliate, torture, and kill Jesus with the Passion Sunday gospel that I just read. Every year when we celebrate Palm Sunday, we shout out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," in the highest heaven. But I wonder, can anyone here tell me what Hosanna really actually means? Anybody? It's open to all. No? No one wants to venture a guess. Okay, so it has become an acclamation of praise. But before that, Hosanna, it literally means save us. How long have you all been going to church? And none of you knew this? That's embarrassing. I'm just kidding. I learned it this week when I was preparing for the sermon. So, Hosanna in Hebrew literally means save us. Save us, Jesus, is what they were crying out. They were also praising him, of course. But there is no way that the people in the streets knew what kind of Savior Jesus really was. What kind of king of the Jews he was really meant to be, did they? The way that Jesus actually intended to save them? They couldn't have. They were looking for someone to defeat the Romans. These shouts of Hosanna were really like shouts of save us, Jesus. We praise you, the son of the great King David, a new king that has come to depose these Roman oppressors. Jesus was the one. He was a son of David. He was there to fulfill the Davidic covenant that was spoken to David through the prophet Nathan. God promised King David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. But now, Israel, Judah, were no longer ruled by the line of David. They were ruled by some faraway emperor, and they were ruled by a governor, Pontius Pilate, who enforced the emperor's laws. What happened to that covenant? Did God suspend it? Did God revoke it? Did God cancel it? So, if you haven't figured it out, I hate that we kill Jesus on the same Sunday that we process him in. It's not supposed to happen that way, but, you know, it's fine. But I do like that we read these two Gospels together because it shows us King Jesus and Governor Pilate side by side. It's a great juxtaposition. We hear today from our gospel, the one that we just killed Jesus in. Jesus was placed before the governor who questioned him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, if you say so. But when the accusations rained down hot and heavy from the high priests and religious leaders, Jesus said nothing. Pilate asked him, do you hear that long list of accusations? Aren't you going to say something? And Jesus kept silence, not a word from his mouth. And Pilate was greatly amazed. Pilate knew Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. The Message translation puts it this way. Pilate knew it was through sheer spite that they had turned Jesus over to him. So Pilate, being a powerful leader with an impeccable moral compass, stood his ground and released Jesus, right? No? So Pilate could sense that a riot was set to break out, so he did what any great leader does. He gave in to the would-be rioters. He made sure to literally wash his hands of the injustice that he was going to oversee. I mean, it was in his own best interest, after all. Pilate, this powerful ruler, he was so powerful, right? But he was afraid of this crowd. So he gave in to what he knew was wrong. And for good measure, for only to show his strength, I can imagine, for some reason he had Jesus whipped, even though he just said that he was innocent. And then he allowed his own soldiers to mock Jesus, to torture the man that he knew was innocent, the man who had just greatly amazed him. Hosanna, save us, Jesus, son of David. Depose these Roman clowns and reestablish a unified kingdom of Israel. I mean, I get it. If the Roman leaders are all as unjust as Pilate, get rid of them. The former kings of Judah and Israel were so much better, right? Anybody read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles recently? Why wouldn't Israel want to return to that past glory? So the best king of all, anybody throw the name out? David? David, he's considered the best, the one that we compare all of Israel and Judah's kings too. So he got one of his military commander's wives pregnant, and to cover it up, had him killed on the front lines of a battle that he didn't go to, and then he took her for his own wife. The son of those two, King Solomon, he was wise. Wise King Solomon. He was much better, right? I mean, he built this grand temple. And in doing so, he kind of acted like the Pharaoh of Egypt. So he didn't exactly enslave his own people, but he taxed and oppressed them to their breaking point. And, in addition to those temples, he built shrines to Chemosh, the god of Moab, Molech, the god of the Ammonites, and others. Why? To please his 700 wives and his 300 concubines. Now, that's a lot of pleasing to do. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, when asked by the Israelites to lessen the burden that had been placed on them by his father, responded, "Whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." He said this to his own people. It's in the Bible, trust me, just read it. And it just kept going downhill. Abijah continued in sin like his father before him. Baasha was openly evil before God. Ahab did even more evil than anyone yet. He was, as it says, a new champion of evil. Let's bring these guys back. So there were a few good kings sprinkled in. I'm not being completely fair. These leaders led, but most of these leaders led the people of Israel and Judah down a path of destruction that led to exile, leading them down a path that was away from God. The Romans were oppressive and awful, and through those rose-colored glasses, a new earthly king to unify Judah and what was left of Israel, that would be perfect. At least he would be their king, and not some foreigner like Pontius Pilate or whatever the stupid emperor's name is. It is human instinct to look to earthly rulers and cry out, "Save us!" Of course, these people that threw their cloaks down. Did you guys throw your shirts and cloaks down today? Why not? That shimmied up palm trees. Like, palm trees are way up there. To get those branches, you have to climb those trees. That shimmied up these palm trees and cut branches off and cried, "Save us," to this new earthly king, Jesus. He was going to reestablish this Davidic covenant and defeat these hated Romans. And I feel for them. I know where they're coming from. And we know where they're coming from. Even though we know who Jesus is, even though we know that through his death on the cross, Jesus inaugurated a kingdom that is not of this world. Even though we know this, we still shout, "Hosanna, save us," to leaders that are of this earth. Hosanna in the highest heaven. You're heaven sent to us. Where all other leaders have failed, you guys are the ones to save us. Hosanna. And while we must seek earthly leaders that do what is right and just, that don't wash their hands of guilt, like Pilate when things get hard, that don't oppress us like Solomon and Rehoboam, that don't lead us away from God, that would enact laws that prevent us from loving our neighbors as God would have us love them, like Abijah, Baasha, and Ahab, the new champion of evil. We cannot shout Hosanna and say, Hosanna, save us to them, because they cannot and they will not save us, because they are human and they are full of sin just like us. And we can't do it because we, unlike those that cheered Jesus on into Jerusalem, we know the rest of the story. We know something that these people didn't. We know that by the end of this week in Jerusalem, there will be yet another parade. And in this parade, Jesus and another man will carry Jesus' throne for him to a high point in the city, Golgotha, the skull, where everyone will see Jesus be nailed to that throne. And it is from this throne that Jesus supplants the earthly rule of that governor Pilate, the emperor whose name doesn't matter, and all the earthly rulers who follow in their first footsteps, whose names do not matter. It is from this throne that God's covenant, I will establish a kingdom, he shall build a house for God's name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. It is from this throne that this covenant will be fulfilled. They shouted to Jesus, Hosanna, save us. And he did. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you in joining me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all in need.
We pray for the church called to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. Make us unflinching servants of the gospel. Deliver us from hardship as we confront the forces of injustice and practice radical compassion. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Save your creation, O God. Every living being you have made has purpose. Give us renewed appreciation of farm animals who labor in the fields, service animals who accompany their human companions, and beloved pets who live alongside us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Save the people of the earth, O God. Restore dignity to those who are scorned and persecuted for their religious beliefs or political activism, and deliver them from the hands of their enemies. Bring peace to places where conflicts run deep. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Save those who cry out to you in any need, O God. Watch over all who are incarcerated or awaiting trial, and stand with those who are unjustly accused. Be present with those feeling isolated, lonely, or fearful. Heal those who are ill, especially Joy, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, Carl, those touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today, we especially lift those who have been impacted locally by severe weather events and tornadoes, those in the South who have been impacted by similar storms, and those who continue to grieve over losses of lives and property from last week's storms. We continue to pray for those impacted by the devastating earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and those impacted by man-made disasters like the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Save us in your love, O God. Guide the work of the church musicians, pastors, choirs, readers, deacons, technicians, acolytes, and all who assist in the worship. Sustain them in their leadership as they accompany congregations through this holy week. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say, Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Amen.
God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as we pour out your very presence through Jesus Christ, the wellspring of eternal life. And God's people say,
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, you call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that, renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we speak praise to your holy name and join the unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us in these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Come, grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread and raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Even today, you are a beloved child of God. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Thank you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Embodied God, at your table, we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world in need with your love. And God's people say, amen.
Before the blessing, please take a look at your bulletin on the back. I guess you don't have to do it now, sorry. It is the schedule of our services this week for Holy Week. So they will all start at 7 p.m. Maundy Thursday is at St. Paul, 7 p.m. Good Friday is at Trinity, and Easter Vigil will be at St. John. So please hold on to that so you remember where the services are this week. And of course, Easter Sunday, we will be here at 9:30 a.m. And I look forward to seeing you all as we, with some help, find our A word. They know what I'm talking about. And also, Becky Schultz, thank you very much for standing in for us today and playing the organ for us and helping us celebrate on this Palm Sunday. And with that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.